with some things yourself dealing with psoriasis. But I would probably say one of the biggest concerns of the family members that I have is how other people react to seeing it. It can be alarming, and if you don't know what it is, you may think that it's contagious. And so it's the looks and the stares or people even moving away from you because they feel that it may be something that is contagious. And that is going to be a big concern when you're traveling because you're sitting in close quarters on an aircraft, or if you're going to the beach, or if you are exposing parts of your body that are going to reveal the psoriasis. I think those things are very important. So I'm glad that we're talking about it today, and I'm glad that we're seeing a lot more about it in the media as well.
So also, like if you're, you know, in a group, or if you're having buffet meals, or you're sitting, you know, community style meals, that might be something that, you know, you need to be aware of as well when you go and have meals and do community meals with your group. It's particularly with buffets, if someone sees an arm or a hand as fully scabbed and they're reaching into the salad bar, that may be a concern to some. But as you and I both know, it's not contagious, but it will be a concern because of how it appears.
All right, so I'm just glad that we're educating people a little bit more about it, and so that we're a little bit kinder when it comes to these things. But also talking about psoriasis, there's a couple of things that I wanted to bring up, because there are some destinations, there are some spas that are great for people who are looking for treatment for psoriasis, some natural treatments. For example, Florida, because of the humidity of Florida and the sunshine, I know you were talking about sun exposure, but because of the humidity of Florida, it's great for the skin. And wearing swimsuit, if it's something that makes you uncomfortable, they do have private beaches available in Florida, which, you know, they're private, so it's not going to be so much amongst the masses. But in certain parts of Florida, you can also find warm mineral springs. And these mineral springs, a lot of times, have great properties in them that are good for skin conditions like psoriasis. The Mediterranean is another great place, the Mediterranean Sea, because it has a high salt content. And salt is great for psoriasis. You can actually buy sea salt and bathe with it. When you talked about taking the baths, you can put the sea salt in your bath water and soak, because again, that salt and the minerals from salt water are great for psoriasis or other skin conditions. The Dead Sea in Israel is another place, and because again, it's high salt content. Things can't live in it because of its high salt content, but it's very, very healing. Also, the Blue Lagoon in Iceland, and they have some mineral springs there. And some of them are a little sulfuric, but they do have some mineral springs, and because of the algae that's there as well, that are great for psoriasis symptoms. It's not a cure, but what happens is it heals the outer part of the skin where it's scabbing. The salt will do that and draw some of those impurities out as well. There's also Soap Lake in Washington State that make the same claims, and they don't have formal treatments, but they do have a spa, and it's called Soap Lake. And because of the temperatures that are there, because of the minerals that are in the waters, it's used for treatment for psoriasis as well. Again, these aren't cures, but they're treatments for the skin condition. And then there's also Manitou Beach in Canada, and it has underground springs, and these underground springs are also great mineral rich therapeutic spas that you can use for these treatments. And a lot of people go. I know my sister has gone to Israel, and when she came back, her skin was so clear.
Oh, nice.
I remember going to the Caribbean with my family and my brother as well, and going into the ocean and really just letting it do what it does with the minerals and the salt. But again, you would find that they would put on T-shirts and sometimes long skin T-shirts because they didn't want to expose their skin. But sometimes as in little as a week of being in the Caribbean or the Dead Sea in Israel, you can start to see some of the healing properties take effect. So, you know, if you're looking at a vacation or a getaway where you can get some treatment as well, if you're suffering with psoriasis, these are some great places. There's one other thing I wanted to mention about the Mediterranean, because the diet itself, you were talking about a good diet, because the Mediterranean diet is filled with omega-3 fatty acids, these are healthy fats, and you get some great benefits. They reduce the severity of the psoriasis and of those symptoms. So, yeah, the diet is very important. But again, you can go on vacation and you can get treatment and you can go to places that are going to be a bit kinder to your skin.
Yeah. And the person, individual, I know they just have some relief and just feel so well, so wonderful that they can leisurely vacation and feel good and not worry about their skin.
Absolutely. And everybody deserves that.
Right.
Everyone deserves that. Mm-hmm. Oh, and the other one that I wanted to do another reminder for is the Soap Lake in Washington. They have some of these mineral muds, and these mud packs are great for moisturizing the skin, and because again of those minerals that they have in there, they're great treatments for psoriasis as well. So if you're looking for treatment and you want to get a bit of vacation in at the same time, and you take some of Yolanda's tips on dieting and your skincare tips and TSA, then there's no reason that you shouldn't be able to enjoy a vacation with psoriasis. So thanks again for this topic, because I think that the more we talk about it, the more people are informed about it, and the more people can feel comfortable about it, those who are afflicted with it. But you have some great news.
I have some wonderful news.
Yes. Yolanda has become an author.
I am officially a published author. My book, RN Bound, A Guide to Become a Successful Nurse, is now out. And I have it in my hand. I thought this day would never come. It feels so good. I think my picture is on the back. I love it.
I love the cover. I love it. It really says RN. And A Guide to Becoming a Successful Nurse. And that's such an important role and position. And I know that it's something that's near and dear to you as well. And now you've been able to share that experience and give some great tips for those who are getting into nursing.
Yes, please. If you're interested in nursing, thinking about going to nursing, contemplating it, currently in school and just about to graduate, this RN Bound is for you. Seriously, guys, I'm not trying to just say bye, bye, bye. I would love that to happen. But this book is really serious and, well, serious of information.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, nurses, students are graduating and they really need a guide to get them on the right track when they start going into their nursing career.
Yeah. So where can we get the book?
Well, you can pick it up on Amazon,
mm-hmm.
Amazon.com. I have it on Kindle readers and also on paperback. Also, you can go to my website, RNBound, RNBound.com, and you can purchase it from the site as well.
Right, and it's great that you can download it into an e-reader, because that's what most people are traveling with these days. And it would be great to have, as you're sitting on the plane getting to your next destination, you can read RNBound, especially those who are looking at becoming a nurse or considering becoming a nurse. And there are a lot of positions available.
A lot. And, nursing schools are overloaded, guys. People are enrolling in nursing programs by the fistful. So if you are one of those people, RN Bound is your guide.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Well, great. As always, thank you for joining us today and giving us some wonderful information and tips. And congratulations on your book. I know you've been working long and hard. Again, you can get the information. You can get the book on Amazon. You can get the information on rnbound.com. And whether you want to buy the paperback or if you want to download it into your e-reader, you can get it either way.
Thank you.
With so many major attractions around the world, I'm wondering which one is most visited. Mo, let's take it to the streets to see if anyone knows.
Traveling Culturati with your girl Mo, always on the go. And who am I here with?
Vanessa.
Hey, Vanessa. In your opinion, can you tell me the most visited tourist attraction in the world?
Ooh, I would say the Eiffel Tower.
The Eiffel Tower. That is a really good answer, Vanessa. All right, thank you for your time. Traveling Culturati with your girl Mo, always on the go. And who am I here with?
Q.
Q, can you tell me, in your opinion, the most visited tourist attraction?
Their urban neighborhood in each city.
The urban neighborhoods in each city. You consider those attractions?
Yeah.
What do you see at these attractions?
Most people like to go to the urban neighborhood just to see how other people live their struggle in each city, but each struggle is different.
Okay, that was deep. I appreciate that. Thank you so much for your time. Traveling Culturati with your girl Mo, always on the go. And who do I have here with me today?
Bro.
Can you tell me, in your opinion, the most visited tourist attraction?
Wow. Apple Mac store.
The Apple Mac store is the most visited tourist attraction in the world.
And
why do you say this, Ross?
Because everybody want an iPhone or a Mac or an iWatch, things like that.
Okay. All right, well, I'll take that answer, Ross. Thank you so much for your time. It seems as if no one knows the correct answer to where the most visited tourist attraction in the world is located. Traveling Culturati with your girl, Mo. Always on the go. Back to you, Javon.
Thanks, Mo. The most visited attraction in the world is right here in the United States of America. It's Times Square in New York City. According to the Times Square Alliance, more than 50 million visitors head to see and visit the neon-lit location every year. Times Square is a major commercial intersection in Midtown Manhattan. The main junction is at Broadway and 7th Avenue and stretching from West 42nd to West 47th Street. It's one of the world's busiest pedestrian intersections, the hub of the Broadway Theater District, and a major center of the world's entertainment industry. Approximately 330,000 people pass through Times Square daily, many of them tourists, but it can swell to over 460,000 pedestrians on its busiest days. Formerly Long Acre Square, Times Square was renamed in 1904 after the New York Times moved its headquarters to the newly erected Times Building, the site of the annual ball drop, which began on December 31, 1907, and continues today, attracting over a million visitors to Times Square every New Year's Eve. The intersection that makes up Times Square is not a square in geometric sense. It's more of a bow tie or two triangles. And when we come back, we have the Culture Report. I'm Javon Harley with the Traveling Culturati on HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. Traveling Culturati host and travel pro Javon Harley. The 2016 WHUR World Tour takes us to Japan, a country steeped in tradition and culture, from the ultra-modern bullet trains to the incomparable shopping in Tokyo. Culturati will love it. This November 3rd through the 12th, we'll visit Tokyo, Kyoto, and Osaka. We'll stay in deluxe five-star hotel accommodations and enjoy excellent tours and cuisine. Sponsored by the Japan National Tourism Organization, United Airlines, and WHUR, the WHUR World Tour Japan. Visit advantage-intl.com for details. Javon Harley here, your travel pro and host of Traveling Culturati, with the top reasons to visit Ghana: history, friendly people, Ghanaian hospitality, and unsurpassed natural beauty. Ghana has it all, but the top reason to visit Ghana is to join me and Advantage International. The wait is over. The dates are set. Join us in Ghana September 8th through the 16th. We'll start in the capital city of Accra and visit the W. E.B. Du Bois Center for Pan-African Culture. We'll follow the history of the slave trade and visit the infamous forts, castles, and slave dungeons on the Elmina and Cape Coast, September 8th through the...
Hi, I'm Tim Farley from SiriusXM's POTUS. Join me for the morning briefing each weekday starting at 6 a.m. East. If there's anything the 2016 political campaign has taught us as Americans, it's that voters in Washington feel disconnected. We try to reconnect the governed to the government with a serious presentation of the issues that matter to you. We do it without trying to tell you what to think, presenting different opinions and questions that probe but don't insult. We have conversations, not confrontations. We won't tell you how to vote. We'll tell you what you need to know to decide for yourself. And nobody covers politics like SiriusXM.
If you really knew Miguel, you would know.
Well, I fell in love with music early on. Oh, the very first song I wrote, I can't
really tell you about.
It was about some girl. I grew up in a time in Los Angeles where there was a lot of racial tension between Mexicans and blacks.
Want to know more? Check out the Artist Lounge Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on SiriusXM Channel 141 HUR Voices.
Welcome back to the Traveling Culturati. I'm your host and travel pro, Javon Harley. The website, travelingculturati.com. Well, you know what time it is. It's time for the Culture Report. We're heading south to Argentina. And yes, I've enlisted some help with Juan Carlos Rua, who is the owner of Nature Style Destination Management Company in Argentina. Hello, Juan Carlos. How are you?
How are you today? Hello. How is everybody? Hello.
And we're all good. Thank you. And welcome to the Traveling Culturati.
Thank you very much.
It's my pleasure. Now, we're heading south in South America. That's where Argentina is. But exactly where in South America is Argentina?
Well, if you go farther south before Antarctica, that's where we are. It's the southern part of South America. We got limits with actually four countries. Going east and crossing the River Plate, we got Uruguay. Farther north from Uruguay, we got Brazil. Paraguay in the north of Argentina, Bolivia, and Chile, all the west part of it that goes to the Pacific.
Okay, now you said Antarctica, which we don't typically think about when we think about South America, and we should. So let's talk about the seasonal climate in Argentina.
We are being in the other part of the world. We are exactly the opposite than you are, guys. I mean, when you are in summer, we are in winter. When you are in spring, we are in autumn.
Okay, so what kind of climate changes do you have throughout those seasons?
Well, Argentina is a country that it's big, it's going, it got a long distance between north and south. So at the meantime, for example, now we are in winter, and in the north of the country, we are having an average temperature between 85 and 90, when in the south, we are in the 40s. The reason why I mentioned Antarctica is because we here in Argentina, we have the southern city of the world named Ushuaia, that is in the fireland. From Ushuaia is from where all the cruises to Antarctica departs.
You have four seasons? In the,
yes.
Okay, but they're very different in the north than they are in the south.
Absolutely.
Argentina is also home to one of the most romantic dances in the world, the tango. Do you know a little bit of the history of the dance?
The tango is certainly part of the culture of Argentina. It's maybe one of the better known dances and music in the world. It's known worldwide. Tango, born in Argentina, let's say around mid-19th century, with the influence of the people coming from Africa, when we had some slavery down here, especially in Uruguay and Brazil, and they mixed with the whole immigration coming from Europe in different waves. The first one was in 1870, second one 1890, and then going farther. So it's a mix of cultures, and the meaning of the word tango, even if there's a lot of differences between many authors, most of them are agreed that tango, it's the origin of the word is mostly African, from the Congo area. When the slaves were here, they named the tango as the place where the people get together.
Oh.
And some of the authors of Argentina defined the tango as a very spiritual and romantic way of living that you can dance.
Well, I just love to watch tango.
It is amazing.
It is. How they intertwine and they communicate with their bodies. And it is so romantic. And it really is a beautiful art form. And it's so interesting, the origins of it.
Yeah, I mean, actually, it is so romantic and even erotic dance that at the very beginning, because of the culture, and it was not a good custom to do so, the tango was mostly danced by a man with another man.
Oh.
Because the women were not allowed to dance tango in front of another people. Actually, you can still see in some of the main shows in Buenos Aires some things on the stage that include maybe two men dancing together in an old-fashioned way.
Very, very interesting. Now, how important is tango to Argentinian culture today?
It's an interesting question, because the tango was part of our culture, let's say, extremely important part of it from the beginning of the 20th century, let's say up to 1960, 1965, when different cultures inside the country, and then we got the military government that didn't allow many things, talking about cultural things, was start going down. But it was maybe thanks to him, and it's not only my opinion, that is also shared and agreed with many people. It was a very famous author named Astor Piazzolla that started to play the tango in a modern way and put the tango again in the stage and start to grow and grow and grow. He became famous all over the world. He made records and with Gary Mulligan, with B.B. King, with very, very important people. And he put the tango again in every single Argentinian heart. And nowadays, in the last 15 years, you see something that when I was young, I didn't see, that it's a lot of tango academies with young people going there, people learning how to play the bandoneon or the violin just to play the tango. And when you go to the shows, you see that the young people is performing and they're extremely good.
Fantastic. Is there a particular music that accompanies tango?
I should say that there's a variety of the tango named milonga. Milonga is the tango that is specifically to dance. So here in Buenos Aires, you are going to find a lot of milongas. That is where the people go and dance the tango. The regular people, people like me or my mother or whoever. That's a very interesting thing to see when you come down to Argentina, because most of the tourists visiting our country, they of course come with the idea to see the tango. And the shows that you can see in different places are extremely good. But it also makes a lot of sense to find out where to go and see where the Argentinians go to dance the tango. For example, in my company, we did in the past some groups, incentive groups, in which they include tango shows, and I always like to finish with a couple that at this time was my mother and my father, dancing the tango in the real way. I always said to the people, if you see my father and my mother dancing the tango, my father is 85 years old, my mother is 83. They born and raised and they've been dating since they were 16. So, and technically, I'm the result of the tango.
Lovely. Absolutely lovely. And I can't
because
wait to see that myself.
But it's extremely difficult to explain.
When we talk about that communication with the body and they've been together for so many years, I can only imagine how beautiful their story is and how they tell that story through tango. I know that cultures are very much represented in the cuisine. So let's talk about the food life in Argentina.
Well, it's also an interesting topic. Now, Argentina is very well known worldwide because of the food quality we have and the gourmet food we have. And in the last 25 years, the quality of the wines we have, that some of them actually 3 months ago, one Malbec from Argentina got 99 points in Wine Spectator. But talking specifically about the food, think about this. Practically 70% of the country is half Italian, half Spanish blood. So there is a mix between these two Mediterranean foods with the typical most important thing we used to have at the beginning of the 20th century that was basically meat. So if I have to say which is the typical food of Argentina, I should mention the asado, that it's a barbecue, but has so many, many, many variants. And we like to say, the Argentinians like to say that we are all specialists in to make an asado, but the truth is that each one of us have our own recipe.
So what's your recipe?
Myself? I like to start with the fire very early in the morning, prepare all the pieces of meat that are basically the ribs, put some salt and some spices in it, and then I start to put the barbecue very high and start going down very, very slowly. When I get to the middle of it, that could be 11, 11:30 in the morning, I open my first bottle of wine, because you cannot make an asado without drinking a good glass of wine.
I'm with you.
Probably if the asado is at 1, 1:30 p.m., I'm probably going to be drunk, but happy.
Well, Argentina does have some beautiful wine, and I'm sure you have some wonderful varieties that go with the asada. Now, I have had the opportunity to experience an Argentinian barbecue, and it is pretty major because it's not just one part of the one part of meat or one cut of meat. It's just about everything, so be prepared for that. I don't know how you all eat so much and stay so small.
Yeah, we like to say that from the cow we eat everything but the horns.
Maybe you use those for toothpicks, huh?
Yeah, there's nothing left.
Well, so would you say asada then is the national dish?
It is. I should say it is.
Now, this is the last question I have for you, and it's open for interpretation, I'm sure. But what would you say is the soul of Argentina?
That's a very philosophical question. Because of the mix of culture, there's no question we are extremely friendly people. We love beauty. We love to live well. We love nightlife. We love sports. When we like something, we become fanatic. Like, you go to a soccer field here in Argentina, it's quite an experience. You will not see it anywhere in the world. It's like the whole stadium is moving and shaking.
It sounds like you're very passionate people. Well, what more can you expect from a country that produced such a beautiful dance, the tango? So, Juan Carlos, thank you so much for joining me today and giving us an insight to the culture of Argentina.
And we are expecting you to visit more. It's an easy flight. It's an overnight flight. And the best part of it is that you are not going to have a jet lag, because the time difference is nothing.
It's not. It's just a two-hour time difference.
You can arrive here early in the morning and getting ready for your first asado.
I can't wait. A nice asado and a nice glass of wine to go along with it, and maybe some tango in the afternoon. Well, that's it for the show today, but I'll be back next week. And remember, wherever you go, go with all your heart. Confucius. To find out more about the Traveling Culturati, visit the website at travelingculturati.com. Follow and share with me on social media and join the Travel Club. Special thanks to you. Brittany Riddle, video producer Howard Little, executive producer Gene Harley, and to you, thanks for tuning in. I'm Siobhan Harley with the Traveling Culturati, exclusively on HUR Voices.
You've been listening to the Traveling Culturati with travel pro Siobhan Harley. Tune in next week at the same time on HUR Voices.
Hey, what's up? It's your man DJ Class, and each and every Saturday